Pastor Lawrence, and thank you, Nico and team, for leading us so beautifully today. Also, thank you all the visitors who have come. You've received an invitation because the people who are being baptized today, your being in their life is an important thing to them. And so that's why they have invited you, and that's why you've come. And so my deepest appreciation for helping to make this a special day for our baptismal candidates. Just before the baptism, we're going to read together what I would consider a profoundly important passage of Holy Scripture. It is important on at least three accounts. Number one, these are some of the final words that Jesus spoke before his ascension. And as we all know, last words are weighty words. Number two, these words contain a commandment from Jesus to his followers, the church. So it's not a suggestion. It doesn't contain a recommendation, but it is a commandment, and it has been treated like that throughout the church. And so that makes it weighty to be able to listen to these words and to be able to treat them as something Jesus is asking us to do. And then thirdly, these words have literally shaped the priorities of the church for 2,000 years. And this morning you'll see how they are continuing to do that, because they have shaped us this morning. And I think you'll see evidence of that. And so I would like to take a reading from Matthew chapter 28, the passage that I'm speaking about, verses 19 to 20. The words of Jesus, the commandment of Jesus to his church. And number three, this has shaped the priorities of the church now for 2,000 years. So let's give it our utmost attention. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, as you do these things, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age." I'm going to ask Multimedia if they'll keep that up so that we can watch it for a few more minutes. And what I want to do is pull a number of key phrases there that will help us to understand the importance of this passage. So the first one I want to is these two simple words, make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations or of all peoples. I began in Christian ministry at quite a young age, 18. I had moved from here to the United Kingdom for that. And so I was involved in full-time evangelistic work. That's language we would use for kind of going out and telling people about Jesus who don't already know. And throughout the United Kingdom, we would go from city to city and we would hold public meetings. And we would advertise those meetings and we would invite people to come in and hear about Jesus. And so success at that time of my life and amongst the people that I was working with, I guess success looked like people coming when you'd invited them. So in some ways it looked like attendance, that people had responded and come out and were gathered there to be able to hear the message of Jesus. And probably the second sign of success, or the thing that we considered success at that time, was at the end of the service, when people had heard about Jesus, there was a chance to respond, to do something with what they'd heard. And sometimes they would even maybe do something to show they had responded, fill out a little card called a response card. And so in those days, what success looked like was lots of people, attendance, and the number of response cards that you had left over at the end of the service. But as I considered that, of only 19 years of age, I considered that in the light of this passage of Scripture. And in the light of Jesus' words, had to think that we were far from the mark. That what we considered success and what he considered success were not the same thing. Because his words are, go into all the world, go therefore and make disciples, not make decisions, make converts, fill halls. All of those things are good in their own place. But were we really making disciples in those days? Or were we simply drawing people to the point of decision? Now notice who he's saying these words to, make disciples. Well, a few verses earlier, it says this, he gathered his disciples to them, and then he said, go and make disciples. He gathered his disciples and said to them, you go make disciples. So what could he mean by that is, what I have been doing for you for the last 3.5 years. They were his disciples. So what I've offered you in terms of care and conscientiousness and intentional relationship and teaching and love, what I've done for you for the last 3.5 years, now at my ascension, I'm asking you to carry on that ministry and to do for other people what I have done for you. That's what it means to go and make disciples. And therefore, there is an imperativeness on the church to consider those words and to do two things. To study what was the life and relationship like between Jesus and his disciples. What did he do for them? How did he train them as disciples? And to make sure that we are imitating and replicating that in the church of our day. Go therefore and make disciples of all peoples. And yet still, even if we could hear those words and we know that they're coming to us on commandment from Jesus, there are still a number of very good questions that someone may want to ask, like, how do you do that? How do you go make disciples? Where would you start? What should be the most important things to us as we go about that? And fortunately, Jesus, in the very passage, gives us some answers to those questions. Because the verse starts with the command to make disciples, but then it proceeds with some more words that are also part of the command. They're not even a new sentence. It is a continuation of Jesus' thought. Go therefore and make disciples. Look at the next phrase. Just separated only by a comma. The next phrase is baptizing them. In other words, the first step the church has to make, if it's going to take seriously the commission to make disciples, is to have a very high premium on baptism. Notice with Jesus, it's not an afterthought. Not something a little bit later on, he says, oh yeah, that baptism stuff, we should probably have a talk about that somewhere. It's not an afterthought. It's uppermost in his mind, and it's of the highest priority. And too many times in the Canadian church, we have placed a low view on baptism, and the consequence is that true Christian discipleship has suffered by the way. So if we want to take seriously, if we want to heed the commandment of Jesus to make disciples, then we must understand baptism is as much a part of that commandment as anything else. Notice the sentence doesn't end there. Next key phrase. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Which explains some of what we're doing at baptism. At baptism, we immerse people into the fullness of the Godhead. We are actually bringing them into intimate union with God as a Father. Union with Jesus as a Savior. And union with the Holy Spirit as an empowerer. All three members of the Godhead. We might also explain that at baptism, we are immersing people into a correct understanding of God. So if someone said to me, why do we baptize? Is it because you believe in God? The answer is yes, but that's not a good enough answer. Because actually at baptism, we are baptizing people into a very particular understanding of God. 97% of the world's population believe in God by some description. But we wouldn't call them Christians by baptism. 97% of the world. And so what happens at Christian baptism is we are baptizing people into a very particular understanding of God. Number one, that he is one and not many. That there is one God who's the creator of heaven and earth. That God has uniquely revealed himself in the person of Jesus. And that he is offering salvation to the world uniquely through the person of Jesus. That God is a Trinity, a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. And that people must accept those basic premises about God in order to be baptized. Later in our baptismal service, our Our young people will be quoting the Apostles' Creed. If you know your church history, you'd understand that the Apostles' Creed, from the very beginning, was a baptismal creed. That every person who was baptized for 2,000 years was caused to learn, to recite, and to understand each line of the Apostles' Creed. You weren't even baptized if you couldn't understand that. Because you were baptized into a very special understanding of God. Which explains the next words. Go therefore make disciples, first key phrase. Of all nations, second key phrase today, baptizing them. Third key phrase, into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Next key phrase, all part of the exact same commandment. Teaching them. Now this isn't just general teaching. Teaching is always good. But you can't read this passage without understanding. This is teaching in the context of baptism. So I never really thought of that. I explained a few times from the pulpit that when I got baptized, someone asked me just minutes before, do you understand what you're doing? And I must have nodded and shrugged a little bit. So I got 12 seconds of explanation. So I was going on a missions trip, and it was required that I be baptized, so I had to with my church, which wasn't a bad thing, and it wasn't a bad idea. But a little explanation to what was happening to me would have been handy. There was no teaching in the context of baptism. And so for 2,000 years, teaching in the context of baptism is what the church has called catechism. And we have taken that very seriously over the last number of years. All our young people are doing that. And it has produced the most amazing fruit. One of the most fruitful things I dare to say in our whole church is that our young people, the teaching that they have went either on preparation to baptism or after baptism, the discipline of Christian catechism. So you're going to hear about it today and how effective it has been amongst us. Last phrase. I am with you always. Isn't that beautiful? I am with you always. So I was involved in revival ministry for many years, wanting to see the manifest presence of God restored to the church. So that phrase always stuck out to me. I preached on that phrase all everywhere I went. This is the will of God for his church. I will be with you always. And that's true. But every time I preached it for a number of years, I took that text completely out of its context. Like it had no association with the things that were said before it. That is a public confession. Preachers should not do that. So watch for me. I can be tricky that way. Again, I just took a change of mind to see this text for what it really says, and it's this. It's our Lord Jesus Christ saying, this is a commandment. Please heed my words. If you will make disciples, like I've made you into disciples, if you will take seriously the call to discipleship, and if you'll do it by putting a high view on baptism, and if you'll understand that you're baptizing people into a very particular revelation of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if you'll do these things I'm commanding and do them as I'm commanding, then here's a promise. As you do it, I will be with you in a special way. Lauren started the service saying that our baptisms are some of our special, most special services all year, and it's true, but that's why it's true. There is a special attendance of the presence of God at our baptisms as we do what Jesus wants us to do in the way that he has asked us to do it. This is an exciting day for our church family. It is also an exciting day for my own family because Callum, my eldest son, that big 10-year-old guy, is being baptized today. And a number of months ago, he came home and told me, Papa, he calls me, I've signed up for catechism. And as much as I've wanted that, it still floored me to hear it. I think this is one of the best days of my whole life. My son is signing up for catechism. He's drinking of a well that I've been digging for years. Not that I've been digging alone. Because in our setting, when you say I'm signing up for catechism, what are you saying? I want to become a disciple. I want to put myself under teaching. I'm going to let people instruct me in the Christian way. And I will give the whole rest of my life to loving and serving Jesus as he has loved and served me. I was floored. And so let me say to our families that are here, in the Old Testament, there was a man called Isaac. And he came along to some wells that had been dug by his father, Abraham. But the Bible says that the enemies had filled them with dirt so they couldn't flow again. And in our day, we would have just left them behind. Oh, well, those wells don't work anymore. But Isaac was different. He came along to those wells because he knew that they were an inheritance from his father, Abraham. And so he pulled out a spade and rolled up his sleeves and he dug and he dug. And he dug until he got all the water, all the dirt out of those wells, and they flowed with the same crystal water that they did when Abraham first dug them. And then it says this, and he says he gave them the names that his father had given them. Because they weren't his wells, they were passed on to him as part of his inheritance. So in honor of that, he even gave them their original names. Baptism is one of the wells we've been digging. That was immeasurably important to the church. For most of the history of the church. But it got filled up with dirt, which sometimes is trivialization, an overly symbolic treatment of, and sometimes it's just fleshliness. We're made of dirt. Too much humanness. But you know what? But you know what a son does? Our son, a daughter? Sonship is measured by your ability to dig out a well. Get the dirt out of the way. Restore it. And when we restored this thing called catechism, I completely understand people say, I love the idea, Todd, but don't call it catechism. The amount of times I heard that, which I can respect. Because it's got too many associations. Guess what? That's what my father's called that well. I didn't create the well, but I've rediscovered it. And I'll give it the name my fathers have called it. And it's flowing with beautiful water. And guess who gets to drink of it? Today, many of our key families, I mean families that have been with us, they've been digging with us. It's their children that are getting baptized today. That's what happens when you redig your father's wells. You set up an inheritance for your children. And one day we'll all be here today. You'll look as gray as I do. Ryan shook his head. Like, that's not possible. But guess what? It'll be families. It will be your grandchildren. And tears will stream down our faces as we watch a posterity set up. A posterity of them. This is just one of the wells we've been redigging. A posterity is set up. And those grandchildren will be out telling their friends the gospel, and they will be coming in. And so on and so forth. It's a good journey. And so it brings my heart so much joy today to see so many of our families that have journeyed with us so well, dug alongside me. To watch your children. One of the most amazing things in catechism today is I haven't actually been the catechist. I'm not even been the one teaching. The body of Christ has served my family and loved my family and loved my kids. And my kids are here today, and this is a good thing, they are not here today strictly because of my witness or my wife's. But because of the activity of God through the church of God, the witness of a community. So if it's important to give credit to where credit is due, I give credit to my home church. Thanks for, because your love, your witness, your faithfulness, my eldest son, my beloved son, is getting baptized today. The Schaefers are just going to come and say a few words. This is their 17th child getting baptized today. So who more than they could speak on this?
Well, good morning, y'all. I could barely keep it together at the 9 o'clock service, so if I cry, forgive me. But this is the fourth of our five children to get baptized, and the catechism process and the effect that it's had on them has radically shaped their understanding of themselves and life and their worldview. And the program that Jep has set up is not just academic, but it's challenged my kids' heart and it's built conviction into them in ways that I could have never expected or done myself. I've watched them break down into tears when they realize that it's bedtime and they haven't had any time for prayer or Bible reading yet in the day. I've watched them embrace their call to pray for others and for their family. Many times I've watched my kids take seriously the call to share Christ with their peers, and then had to walk them through the rejection and the bullying that comes at that age from being different. If we teach our kids that being Christian means that they now have an obligation to help those in need, they just believe us. That's the beauty of childlike faith, is that when we help them to fully understand the commitment that daily relationship with God requires, they just joyfully embrace it. It's not always easy watching my kids wrestle through the program and seeing them come to grips with what being a Christian actually means and the long-term implications that it'll have on their life. Because in our house, when we talk about baptism, it's not just something you do because all your friends are doing it. It's not something that you do to make mom and dad happy. It's a personal decision that means you're choosing a path for the rest of your life. And it's not something to be entered into lightly. One of the things that I love about catechism at ROL is that Jep doesn't candy coat Christianity for our kids. It's not all rainbows and free tickets to heaven. This catechism program is the real rubber meets the road discipleship that has had lasting effects on my kids. Still years afterwards, we don't make our kids go. They beg to be allowed to go. They cry when they're not old enough to go. And because we didn't have the opportunity or the understanding to baptize our children as infants, some of our kids have had to wait years for this opportunity to be baptized, and I'm so glad that ROL has this program for them.
Yeah, so just on a practical note, just on the day-to-day stuff, just so blessed to watch our kids walk through this process and to see them grow and mature, knowing too that they're not alone, that they're not walking this journey alone, and that there's so many of you that are walking side by side with them, and the great team that they've set up to walk these kids through catechism. Each and every one of my kids, as they've gone through it, have come home afterwards and told me how blessed they were and how much they love certain teachers, or all the teachers, but certain things that they say and the things that they do and how loved they feel. And so it's such a blessing to be able to participate in this journey and to see our kids being blessed and see other kids being blessed. As well as a practical note at home, just being able to take the things that they've learned in catechism and to apply it directly to their day-to-day lives. You know, conflict with their brothers and sisters and others around them, and to be able to walk them through and talk about the things that they've learned and kind of journey with them in this process, and that it's not just a matter of us telling them what to do anymore, but about them experiencing it for themselves and those truths becoming impacted on their hearts and changing them. So super blessed to be able to receive the benefits of this in our family. And we have a fifth that's on the way that can't wait, and he continues to ask when it's his turn. So, we're just encourage all of you to just encourage your kids in this. If you have little ones, it is well worth it in every way. So.
So what these children are about to do is going to really speak to you. So if you're here today, and wouldn't consider yourself a devout follower of Jesus, today may be your day to watch what they're doing and say, I'd like to become a disciple of Jesus. Show me how to sign up for catechism class. In other words, teach me how to do this. Prepare me for baptism. I would like to follow him. And so at the end of the class, if you at a service, come find one of us. We run a catechism class constantly, and then at the end, people can choose whether to go on for baptism. And occasionally people say, well, I learned a lot about Christianity. I don't want to go on. But they've learned a lot. And they can make an informed decision. So if you're here today, you'd like to learn more about being a disciple of Jesus, then please come speak to us afterwards, and we'll journey with you as Jesus did with the original disciples.
The enemy is defeated, amen? Is it pretty good to be in God's kingdom, to be his children? Thank you, KO. You guys are awesome. That's great. It's just cool to visually, some of you haven't used your imaginations for a while. That might have hurt a little bit. You're like, is that a tree? Is that a tree? It's a tree, honey. Okay. So hopefully you were able to follow along okay, the story there. Well, let's invite all those that were in our catechism class to come on up on the stage here and join us. Line up here, you guys, across the stage. And our teachers, if you could come as well, join us up on the stage here. We just want to come on, guys, all the way across here. There's a couple that will be coming in from the KO group and join us in a minute here. But this is our crew this year that was involved in catechism and getting ready for baptism here. It's been just an amazing journey with these guys. They've been so awesome and committed and engaged in what we were doing. And in this process of catechism, these guys study the Apostles' Creed line by line. They go through 12 weeks. Each class is like 2 hours long. They take notes and they study and they ask questions until every question imaginable is answered. And if we don't know, we just pass them on to Bishop Todd. We say, you're going to have to take his class next. Some of them stumped us. There were some doozies. But they wrestled with the truth of God. And they, when they say the words today that I believe as a confession of their faith, they really do believe it. They own it, and they have worked very hard to ready themselves for this day. And I'm so thankful for our teachers who committed their time to help make this all happen. We have an awesome team. Did our catechists do a good job, you guys? Did they train you well? That sounded half-hearted if you ask me. I don't know. Maybe you guys got to improve a little bit for next year. But they were such a blessing for me to have such amazing people pouring into my kids, your kids. As Todd was saying, what just a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. My children are so blessed today because of the many people who have poured in their life here. They've imparted things that I never could in a million years, and I'm so thankful for that. So what a beautiful picture of the body of Christ working together. And we have all these wonderful kids here, but they don't just come here from work in the church. I just honor all the mums and dads and grandmas and grandpas here today because it's a participation together. None of these kids are here without your efforts spiritually training our children, that would be our highest priority above all else in life, that this is what we would prepare them for in life, moments like this. So well done, mums and dads. Are you guys ready for this? You ready to say the creed? Now, as you have all found out, my old man dyslexia could throw you off a little bit here as we quote the creed. I can't seem to get things in the right order no matter how hard I try. But I'm going to follow you guys, okay? Are you ready to quote the creed? And everyone out there, if you believe these things as well today, why don't you say them with us, all right? All right, are you ready? On the count of six. Are you ready? One, two, three, four, five, six. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of life, and life everlasting.
Amen. All right. Did they do a good job? Yeah. Did they look like they meant it? Did they look like they were serious about what they're saying? I think they were. Well, all right. Those of you who have already been baptized, you can go sit down. And those who are getting baptized, you guys stay up here, all right? Because we're just going to check in with you and ask you today why you want to be baptized. All right. Do you guys want to hear this from these young people? All right. All right. Tell us today why you want to be baptized, bud. Tell everybody your name and why you want to be baptized.
My name is Caleb, and I want to be baptized because I want to be in God's family.
So you don't want to be in the Strovey family anymore?
Maybe.
So you're making this decision yourself? You're not just doing this for your parents?
I don't know.
Sounds like you might need out of that family. I don't know, things are confusing in there. You're making this decision. You want to follow Jesus all the days of your life?
Yep.
All right, bud. Awesome. And how about you? Tell us your name and why you want to be baptized today.
My name is Ephraim, and I want to be baptized because I want to get to know God. I want to join God's family. I want to be with God.
Oh, awesome, buddy. And you're going to follow him all the days of your life?
Yes.
And serve him?
Yes.
What if he doesn't? Will you still do it?
Yes.
What if he doesn't? Will you still do it?
Yep.
Okay. All right, bud, tell us your name and why you want to be baptized today.
My name is Callum, and I want to get baptized so I can be a part of God's family and be able to participate in the Holy Communion. Being a part of God's family is very important to me. Getting baptized is important to me because I love him and I want to obey him.
Wow, awesome, bud. Sounds like a preacher's kid to me. All right. You're going to follow him all the days of your life, Callum?
Yes.
You love him with all your heart?
Yes.
All right, we're going to baptize you today, bud. All right, tell us why you want to be baptized, Josh. Oops. I mean, Willie, tell him your name.
My name is Josh, and I want to be baptized because I want to be in God's family. And in the Bible, Jesus said, if you believe, get baptized. I wanted to do it with my friends. I thought it would be a good memory to have.
All right, that's awesome. And you're going to follow him all the days of your life?
Yes.
What if your friends don't follow him? Will you still?
Yes.
All right. Well, it is a joy to do it with our friends today, isn't it? All right, bud, tell us your name and why you want to be baptized.
My name is Isaac, and I want to get baptized because I want to be obedient to God and be a disciple of Christ. I want to grow in my relationship with God and be closer to him. Last year, I thought that a relationship with God wasn't as important as some other things. In the catechism class, I learned that it really is important so I can be closer to him. I want to learn more about God through the Bible and through relationship with him.
All right, bud. So you want to be baptized today?
Yes.
You do realize you're going to get wet, right?
Yes.
You're okay with that?
Yes.
All right. Okay, we're going to baptize you today. You sounded excited about that. All right, bud. Tell us your name and why you want to be baptized today. I'm kind of blocking everybody over here, aren't I? Let me turn a little bit. Oh, I think I see your mom over there.
Got to see your mom. Hi, Mom. Tell her you love her.
I love you.
All right. Why do you want to be baptized today?
I want to be baptized. Oh, my gosh. My name is Cole, and I want to be baptized because I want to be closer to God.
Amen. Are you going to follow him all the days of your life?
Yep.
Even if that guy doesn't?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to baptize you today, bud. Let's take a step forward here. Tell us your name and why you want to be baptized.
My name is Judah, and I want to be baptized because I want to learn God's teachings and take communion.
Oh, you're excited about communion, are you? Why do you want to do communion? Why does that seem special? What's special about it? Put you on the spot. You didn't know I was going to ask question number two, did you? Deer in the headlights, classic. What is it you think is going to be fun about communion?
It's yummy.
That's good. Are you thinking of the alcohol specifically, or what are you thinking of? Which family are you part of? All right, but do you love Jesus with all your heart?
Yes.
You're going to follow him all your days?
Yes.
All right, bud. We're going to baptize you today. Tell us why. Step forward. Tell us your name, why you want to be baptized.
I'm Angus, and I want to be baptized because it's like saying yes to God's invitation. Do you want to live in my house? When you say yes, he doesn't just let you into his house. He adopts you into his family. He clears your criminal record of sins through the cross. He erased all my sins when he died on the cross. This is the next step in my Christian journey. So yeah, that's basically it. Yeah.
All right. I do have to ask you a question. Did you actually write that or did your dad?
That was me.
Wasn't your mom?
No.
Okay, just checking. That was good, eh? All right. Might have a bit of a prophetic thing running in your family. All right, are you going to follow him all your days, bud?
Definitely.
All right, we're going to baptize you today. Come on, step forward here. Tell us your name and why you want to be baptized.
My name is Jamie, and why I want to be baptized is because I wanted to get closer to God, and another reason is because I thought it would heal my heart.
And you're going to follow Jesus all the days of your life?
Yep.
You love him?
Yes.
Do you know if she loves him?
Yes.
So even if she wasn't here today, you would still be here?
Yes.
All right, kiddo. We're going to baptize you today. Tell us your name and why you want to be baptized.
My name is Rosario, and I want to get baptized because I want to be closer to God. I want to drink of the cup and eat of the bread because I am thankful that God sent his son to die on the cross. I want to grow in faith and be more filled with the Holy Spirit.
All right, kiddo. And you're going to follow Jesus all the days of your life? You love him?
Yep.
Awesome. We're so excited to baptize you today. Step forward here. Tell us your name and why you want to be baptized.
My name is Nalia, and I want to get baptized because I feel that God is asking me to, and I want to obey him. And I became a Christian when I was 6 years old, and Jesus is my Savior, and I love him, and I'm very excited to get baptized today.
Oh, that's awesome. You love Jesus?
Yes.
You're going to follow him all your days?
Yes.
Awesome, kiddo. All right, next step forward here. This is Ralph. Say hi to everybody. Oh no, I got that. I get those mixed up sometimes. Sorry. Tell us your name and why you want to be baptized.
Hi, my name is Emma, and I want to be baptized because I want to be more closer to God, and I would like to be a missionary.
Whoa. All right. Do you think you should get baptized before you become a missionary?
Yeah.
That's a good step in the whole thing, hey? Are you going to maybe go somewhere and baptize a whole bunch of other people?
Yeah.
That would be fun. Yeah, well, you love the Lord, and you're going to follow him all your days, Emma?
Yes.
All right, well, it's exciting to baptize you today. Come on, step forward here. Tell us your name.
My name is Emily, and I wanted to be baptized because I wanted to be a part of God's kingdom and have the Holy Spirit deep within me.
Wow, that's a good thing to want. Amen? Yeah. Well, we're going to pray for that today. Darn it! I almost made it through the line. Oh, Cyrus. All right, kiddo, step forward here. Tell us your name and why you want to be baptized.
Hi, I'm Madison, and God has placed on my heart to be baptized for a few years. I took the catechism class a long time ago, so I'm kind of older than everybody. The reason I want to be baptized is so I can learn more about who God is, and I can be more a part of his family. And my parents have told me that when I go into the water, it's like I'm dying like Jesus did for my sins. And when I emerge out, that I will be risen again.
New life. You want that new life? Yeah. Awesome, kiddo. Awesome. One more here on the end. Last. You're not least, are you? No, definitely not. All right. Tell us why you want to be baptized in your name.
Okay. My name is Trey, and I want to be baptized because God commanded us to, and I want to obey him. And I want to be part of his family. And my parents also said we get to go to McDonald's after, so it's all good.
That's a bonus. That's part of the dying part. Okay. Well, bud, we're excited to baptize you today. And we're sorry for what's happening after your baptism, sir. Well, do you guys think these guys are ready to be baptized? I think they're ready.